Like that, Rick Dempsey and Steve Smith of your Baltimore Ravens here, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, Fat Tony? How are you?
I'm okay.
You survive in advance.
Survive in advance.
The nation.
We're into the round of 16. I got a bit of a throat something going on today.
Oh, is that an issue from yelling, I take it.
It could be.
Is that some kind of germ issue?
I think it's exhaustion, honestly. This entire week between what happened on Sunday with Team USA and then a College World Series and then the team advancing to the round of 16 yesterday. I mean, it's been a pretty stressful week for me.
By the way, it's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. We love those guys and appreciate their support every day of the week. But Fortunato has just handed me an industrial-sized can of great value citrus scent disinfectant spray that will be heading in your direction if I hear anything phlegmy coming out of you today.
Yeah, it's not real. I don't think I'm, like, sick.
By the way, this whole exhaustion thing, people are like, the guy works 2 hours a day.
No, see, that's not what's got me exhausted at all.
I understand,
not
but,
even close.
You know, there are people out there working for a living, Tony.
Oh, I know.
Who are taking in their USA soccer as well and maybe living and dying with their favorite baseball team, enjoying Jaguars today and all the other fine fare on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And I hope
FM
you feel better than
basis.
I do on a Friday.
But you probably all sound better than Fat Tony feels today. By the way, got a chance to meet Lauren's dad yesterday.
Yeah.
So hi to Mr. Brooks out there. And we've told people for years that, you know, there's a lot of history with cinema and the entertainment industry with 1010XL. As many people know, not everybody does, the Andy Griffith Show was based loosely on the childhood of David Lamb.
Of course.
Growing up, his exploits in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. The movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith, based loosely on your parents.
Very loosely, but yes.
Very loosely. Mostly in the casting, I think, is where they went. And now we find out the inspiration for the movie Mr. Brooks. You ever see that one by Kevin Costner?
I did.
That is that's a hidden gem.
I will say of the three, that's you're painting Mr. Brooks in the darkest light.
Did you realize that was the case? Your dad and I had quite a chat about you yesterday, Lauren.
Did you? I thought I was present for all of that.
Well, I was going for radio effect there. have you ever seen the movie Mr. Brooks?
I have not.
Ah.
Apparently,
well,
I need to.
Now you need to. It's all about your dad. And what a lovely daughter he has as well.
Aww,
in the movie. It's really sweet. Aww. Everyone who's seen the movie knows exactly what I'm talking about right now. So
uh-oh,
you should really check that out.
You're working one over on me, aren't you?
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Smith is ridiculous. Andy Griffith is absurd.
Andy Griffith is semi-believable.
But Mr. Brooks, it's just mean.
I have no idea what's going on.
I just called your dad a serial killer.
Yes,
awesome.
And you are one in training.
Kevin Costner. He's a good serial killer. He's very good at it.
He is good at it.
I would be good at it, too.
He is good at it. He's a highly successful serial killer. And he's quite the artist as well.
He's got an imaginary friend.
He makes clay things. Yes, William Hurt. Is it William Hurt?
Yes, it was.
Imaginary friend. Lauren Brooks, since we got you here, hello, good morning,
yes,
how are
hello,
you?
Hello, good morning, I'm fantastic,
Hang
thank
on
you,
a
how are you?
Shut up, Randy.
Yes, now Lauren Brooks may enter the
By
studio.
The way, speaking of that, the now infamous Susan was not able to listen to our show when that story was being told because she was giving a swimming lesson, so I recorded it for her and sent it to her, and she sent me a text last night saying she was crying, laughing so hard, and that Randy doesn't remember any of that.
Randy was all hopped up on those good meds. And,
he was.
Which makes you wonder what he was complaining about to begin with.
Who knows? I mean, it is a knee replacement. There might be some pain even with meds.
I don't know. But I don't want to find out. Hopefully I won't have to worry about the knee replacement for a while. But
yeah,
since we have you here, Lauren was the star yesterday at the 1010XL.
I think Balls was the star.
Oh, was he?
I think so. Did he paint his toes as well? He did not paint his toes. But I'm looking at him right now. I think he did paint his fingernails.
Interesting. All right. Well, you had the toes and the fingers going yesterday. And,
yes, they're still like that.
It was fun, but although the game was horrendous. I mean, come on. Seriously?
Yeah. I was a nervous wreck.
Not exactly a compelling soccer game.
No, it was certainly the most dull of the three they played.
Oh, it was god awful, is what it was. But that's okay. They move on. Who cares? The aesthetics of it don't matter when you win. But Lauren, I know you have an increasing list. Lauren is now taking Jaguars Today as her personal platform to reach the Jaguar listenership, fan base,
all the 1010XL Jaguar fans,
and her friends who she's apparently down on her minutes this week on her calling plan, Tony. So she just communicates over the airwaves.
This is easier. Yes. So Brett, I got to see him. I had not seen him in a few years. He's a good friend, and he listens all the time. He does the podcast version, so he listens on his way to work, hour one, and on his way home, hour two. I thought that was fantastic.
Nice job, Brett. Hope you have a good day at work today.
Yeah, so thank you to the Jaguars.com folks for putting that up every day.
Absolutely.
And intern Ben for helping us with that as well. And then also, my dad actually is a chatty Cathy like me, and he met a guy named Brendan who's in the Navy, and he listens every day, and he picked Mike out immediately, listens to us, said thanks so much for all that we do, and really I said thanks for listening. So thanks to everyone who came out to Colhane's. We had a blast.
He picked me out because I'm the guy easily discernible with the reddest face in Jacksonville. Every picture I take on every picture Tony takes of me on Twitter, I think I've got that Irish ruddy complexion, Tony, is what I like to call it anyway. But I drink one of those Crystal Light energy drinks before the show, and I think it ups my facial blood content. I don't know if it
that
does or not.
That sounds gross. Facial blood
my
content?
My facial blood content. Ew. I don't know how else to describe it. The blood rushing to my face.
Stick with the ruddy complexion.
I have a
like
blush.
The Clint Hurdle complexion.
I have a blush. The Clint Hurdle complexion?
Clint Hurdle always looks like he's been drinking.
Does he?
Yes. You've never seen that?
Well, I guess, and it took me for a minute to realize, of course, Clint Hurdle went into management. I'm like, how does Lauren know about a guy who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated like 1976 as a rookie? This is interesting.
I know everything.
The people that she knows about.
Well, how do you know he hasn't always been drinking?
Well, that's true, Tony. No,
not
and you.
It's hard to say, really. You're not with me 24 hours a day. You don't really know.
We're starting this show off just right.
We are starting it. Well, you know, it's going to get better.
Absolutely.
It's hard to believe it can at this point, but it is going to get better today. Blake Bortles visited with us this week, Tony.
Yeah.
And not everybody had a chance to hear that conversation. We're not. I would imagine over the course of the next 6 months, basically, as we're almost at the end of June, we'll probably get a chance to talk to Blake. I'm guessing maybe one more sit-down interview sometime in training camp, you know, how's your first training camp going? And after that, they're going to put him on the back burner. They don't want to put him out there and create this constant dialogue about, you know, how you doing? Are you closing in on Chad Henne? They want the focus to be on the guys who are playing. They want him to be able to develop kind of in peace, so to speak. They're going to make Blake available once a week during the season, kind of in a group setting in the locker room. But there's not going to be a whole lot of reason to sit down with the guy other than, you know, at some point to catch up. Just what's it like your rookie season? How's it going along?
Sure, and so this is one of the last few chances we're going to have to probably have a one-on-one with Blake. We'll probably get one more before the season actually gets here. But look, he's been through 5 weeks now of OTAs and mini camps and that kind of thing with the rookies and with the entire roster. All of that was going on. So we have a better idea from Blake of what it's like to be in the NFL. And we've had a couple of stories come out with Blake specifically about him going to his coach. We've had him talk about how average he felt like he had been throwing the ball during that last week of practice here at the mini camp. So, look, the reps are probably going to go down for Blake Bortles from where they've been at this point, because once we get to training camp and into practice getting ready for Philadelphia, the focus has got to shift to we got to have Chad Henne and these guys ready and on the same page for week one and be less concerned with making sure that we split the reps between Chad Henne and Blake Bortles, which is basically what it's been to this point.
Yeah, last week, of course, Blake was the star attraction at the Jaguar fan caravan down in Oviedo. What was that, last Thursday there in Oviedo?
I think so, yeah.
Thursday, Oviedo, it was
Thursday
Port Orange
Friday.
On Friday.
Something like that.
Regardless, they're in Brunswick last night. They go to Tallahassee today. I honestly don't know which players are going on the caravan trip today, but I would assume a trio of former Seminole linebackers would be the ones you would choose to make that trip out to Tallahassee. So we'll hear from Blake coming up today. Also today, we'll conclude our look around the AFC South that we've taken this week with stops so far in Houston and Indianapolis. We'll talk with Frank Wycheck. Frank Wycheck, Tony, did enough damage directly against the Jags, but he, of course, was the guy who started the play, the Music City Miracle, that ultimately led the Titans past the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs in 1999. Mm-hmm. And had that not happened, maybe we're talking about the Jaguars in some alternate universe where that pass was deemed a forward lateral, and I don't think it was. I think it was. I think they made the right call on the play. Maybe we're talking about some alternative reality where the Jacksonville Jaguars have one Lombardi trophy in the trophy case. But we'll talk with Frank Wycheck as he does work on morning radio in Nashville, and we'll get the latest on what's going on with the Tennessee Titans. Also hear a little bit from Mark Lamping. He was on Jaguars Thursday last night with J.P. Shadrick hosting, as you've been hearing some from him throughout the course of the day, with you know, all the stadium amenities, the improvements, where they stand on sales, for all that stuff. By the way, speaking of sales, single game tickets went on sale for the general public 7 minutes ago, and the rush is on right now. So get your tickets if you want to call the Jaguar Ticketing Office, 633-2000. Today's question of the day by the Tom Bush family of dealerships asking Jaguar fans daily, what drives you? We want to know, looking at the home schedule, I'm talking about the Jacksonville home schedule, 7 home games here in Jacksonville. Which one is the most attractive to you? Which one are you most looking forward to? I would have asked the question something along the lines of, if you could only go to one, which would it be? But I know I will get a lot of snarkies. Well, why would we only go to one? So I just did it that way. Just which game are you most looking forward to among the home games this year? We'll get into these coming up. But the home schedule, September 21st against the Indianapolis Colts in the home opener. The Pittsburgh Steelers game, which there's a 40% markup on those single game tickets because of the expected interest in that ticket. Cleveland Browns on October 19th. Miami on October 26th. The Giants, 20% markup on those on November 30th. And that's a long stretch, man. October 26th to November 30th.
Yeah.
You won't have a game here in Jacksonville. You'll have the Florida Georgia game. You'll have a trip to Wembley Stadium, take on the Dallas Cowboys. So technically a home game, but not here in the cozy confines of EverBank. Of course, my birthday celebration, which Jags are planning on putting on, you know, they thought, really, for my 46th birthday, let's get the two largest video boards in the world and do this thing upright. And let's invite the Texans to come as well.
Sure.
So that's nice. And then Thursday Night Football, a week before Christmas against the Tennessee Titans. So you got a lot to choose from today in that regard. It is, by the way, it's birthday season in my house. We do birthday seasons because I was born on December 7th.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was born on December 9th,
right.
1968, same year. So we just consider like the 7th through the 9th birthday season, right? It's like it's everybody's birthday for those 3 days. So that's kind of the tradition in our house, that your birthday is really like a 3 or 4 day affair. You get extra perks or what have you. You know what
really?
I mean? Yeah, you need an extra foot rub. That's the time to ask for it. It's during birthday season. Something I know, way too much information. But the point being,
wait, since you're both in birthday season, that's odd.
It is, but it works. Just trust me, it works. Trust me, it works.
Shadrick
had walked in. He has now gotten up and left the room.
It's like, I want a foot rub.
He's
no,
enough.
I want a foot rub.
Come back, JP. I'll take my shoe off right now. but my son turns 10. 10, Tony. 10.
Oh, my
goodness.
Where did
the years go? He's going to be 10 on Monday.
Oh, my.
So birthday season has begun. He's had like a week of it, though. He's a spoiled, rotten little kid. He's a great kid, and we got the big birthday weekend. We're going to Legoland on Sunday, which will be, I think, the fourth straight year. He hasn't tired of Legoland yet as his birthday trip. I agree. And then he's going to tune into a special birthday edition of Jaguars Today on Monday. Dad,
sure.
Dad did not take the day off on Monday, but he's got his best buddy going with him, Joshua, who Joshua's mom told Heather and I the other day that Joshua came to her and asked, can Colin be my brother? This is the sweetest thing I've ever heard in my life. Are you kidding me? It's the nicest thing I've ever heard in my life. So,
do they give each other hugs?
They do give each other hugs. They're good kids, you know. Although they're kind of now, they're kind of more into the.
Show me your Legos.
Yeah, it's there's
they punch each other in the shoulder.
There's not so much punching in the shoulder.
We're moving past
they
that.
They used to always hug each other when they left after like a play date and stuff like that. But now it's more like they call each other derpy and then just kind of laugh and walk the other way.
I still give my friends hugs.
Well, yeah, but you're a chick.
Yeah, I guess that's a little bit different.
You know, and then there's a look. I'm a hugger. I hug everybody. I hugged, I met Tony Angelini yesterday. I hugged it out with Tony. Tony's one of our favorite Twitter followers, with the Clay County Gators. And, you know, we couldn't probably have more dissimilar interests when it comes to college football. I'll hug it out with anybody, brother. It doesn't matter to me. By the way, congrats to Hacker. You hear about
yes,
the big news?
Yes, that's right.
I don't think we're breaking news because it's...
We are not breaking news.
As Lauren said, Twitter is ablaze with news of the Hacker pending nuptials.
Yes.
Dude, it was like, lock it in. You're not going to find one better than you got right now. You've got a fantastic girl. So congrats to he and Holly.
Heidi.
I'm sorry. He's got a fantastic girl. And then I messed up her name. I'm sorry, Heidi.
And he had the game and the wherewithal to
so bad.
Propose,
at least he didn't do that.
Yeah, to propose on her birthday. So happy birthday, Heidi. It's a big one.
Hack, let me suggest marrying her on her birthday. Get the 2-for-1 special, brother. And yeah, birthday / anniversary season. It works.
That's right.
I told him next birthday is going to be rough to beat.
I got married on February 14th. Mm-hmm. Figure it out, dude. Smartest man in the world. Smartest man in the world. All right, Heidi. Congratulations.
And you can say H squared, too.
H squared. That's right.
Although not for long. Because then she'll be HG.
If she takes his name, maybe he'll take her name, huh?
Maybe. I'll have to talk to him about that.
Progressive times we're living in right now. So, there you have it. All the news that's fit to air. You're all caught up. It's called Nolan Cadillac Friday. Serving you here in Jacksonville since 1905 as the preferred Cadillac dealer in Northeast Florida. They present Jaguars Today every Friday afternoon. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Tweet the show today at MD_1010XL. At 1010XL, Fat Tony. And at 1010XL, Lauren. By the way, Lauren, our winner yesterday was somebody who used the hashtag ShutUpRandy on
yes,
Facebook.
Yes, it's so a thing.
It's coming on right now. It's coming on strong. Shut up, Randy. It's soon to be Shut Up Vandy included in that, but Tony's living the life right now, man.
Did you know we won a baseball championship this week?
Tell us about it, if you would.
Oh, man, John Norwood, you're a stud.
You are a stud, John Norwood. I got to look at Tony's unshaven face for at least another 5 days
yes,
of United States men's national soccer prowess.
We're beating Belgium.
Taking him down. You believe, right?
I believe.
All right, he believes. That's good enough for
me. This is the easiest game we've played in the World Cup to this point.
Is it really?
It could potentially
be. I thought Belgium
be.
Was playing lights out right now.
They're playing pretty well.
Pretty well.
They lost the midfielder yesterday on
I'll
the red
say,
card.
United States has played pretty bad in 2 out of their 3 games.
They
don't
have,
you think?
They look dead.
And in the one where they played great, they gave up a goal with 30 seconds left.
We're
yeah,
saving
could,
it.
Yeah, you could tell early I'm in that game yesterday. They like, were completely just drained.
If Tim Howard doesn't play yesterday, that's 3-0 Germany.
Probably.
At least, if not worse. And then you're worried about
world class, Timmy.
He was world class
he's
yesterday.
Great.
I've heard them describe him as the best goalie in the world right now, at least in the World Cup.
He's potentially at the top of that list.
Here I am
sure.
Breaking down soccer. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back, get rolling. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. You want to get on board? 641-1010 is the number. It's Jaguars Today, live from Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Right, I'm lost right out of the gates, Tony. What do you got? Anything for me?
Oh, on the song?
Yeah. What else would I be talking about? Sports talk?
No, I...
Who talks about sports talk?
Jaguar talk.
What is this, Lauren?
This is Ain't Going Down Till the Sun Comes Up by Garth Brooks.
Oh, that's good old America. America bands. They're not going down.
Today we're just doing whatever I feel like. That's the music theme of the day.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yep.
Okay.
Whatever I feel like.
That could have played well for the U.S. men's national team, right? We may lose. I don't get this fake consternation, and I don't understand how we can lose in advance. That's not American. And idiots, they advance because they beat Ghana.
Right.
And they got 3 points for winning, and they just happen to play them in that order.
What's not American is giving up. We didn't give up. No.
Who said we gave up?
I'm just saying, that's what's not American.
Jurgen gave up.
We were trying to win.
Jurgen didn't give anything up.
Jurgen said we can't win it. He gave up.
Oh, my God.
That was used as motivation for the troops.
Huh?
That wasn't even motivation.
I gave up. You did, too. Who said it? I gave up. You did, too. Come on.
Tony's failing every pop quiz so far.
Larry Munson.
Yeah,
on the
Munson.
On the Run Lindsay.
Oh, that's right.
You did too.
You're giving
I
me
love that
pop
clip.
Quizzes on Little Under the Weather
Day. I'm just throwing things at you right now. Give me the ingredients in this great value disinfectant spray. Tony, go.
Is there water in it?
There probably is. I'm guessing that is one of the ingredients.
It's my first guess.
In there. It's Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday, Jaguars today. The question of the day, we ask you, which home game are you looking the most forward to this year? Home game, single game tickets on sale for the last 21 minutes or so. We'll hear a little bit from Mark Lamping coming up. Tony, for you, obviously, I would assume, I say obviously, the New York Giants game would seem to be the one that would jump out as the game you would be most looking forward to. Am I correct in that assumption?
I mean, I always enjoy seeing the Giants play when I can live, and they come here once every 8 years, so... Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the Giants coming here, but the schedule is so much better than it was last year. When the home schedule got released last year, you're like, ugh, really?
Right.
I mean, this is what they have to offer. You're trying to get enthusiasm back in this fan base, and these are the teams, the seven games that you're going to have at home. And they somehow found a way to keep that enthusiasm up throughout the entire regular season last year. And this year they have games where people should be interested in going early and late in the schedule, with Pittsburgh being the second home game and the Giants coming up the weekend of Thanksgiving, basically. I mean, this is a good home schedule for the Jags this year.
I mean, home opener should be big regardless of who you play in any
sure.
city, just about.
Even bigger in Jacksonville, given everything that's going to be for the first time really on display in a game that means
in a full effect, right, in a yeah. game that means something, as you say. And with the Colts coming to town as well, that's a great litmus test in the division. They went 6-0 in the division last year, only team to do it in the National Football League, and they'll try to do it this year without Robert Mathis for the first month, which plays very well. And I appreciated Derek Schultz yesterday. We had him on from WNDE in Indianapolis, not taking the party line there and saying, look, let's not kid ourselves. Fertility drugs have been used to mask PED use for a while now. It was a fertility drug that got Manny Ramirez suspended for the first time for 50 games from Major League Baseball. So don't assume that the benign answer is necessarily the accurate one with Robert Mathis. You can't, I don't think, in today's day and age.
No, probably not, and especially for someone who is as cynical as you.
Hey, look, guys are going to get an edge. You don't think guys are still doing performance-enhancing drugs in every sport? Of course they are.
No, of course they are.
Why they test for them?
Mike, cynical?
Yeah.
That's
just
breaking
a little
news.
Bit. I know, just a little bit
so
cynical.
Out of character for me.
But... You know, they get the Colts there without Robert Mathis. We'll see what the Colts are going to look like on offense, really, this year, too. With Reggie Wayne coming back, how healthy is he really going to be by the time we get to week three of the regular season? Do they have the weapons around Andrew Luck? What is Trent Richardson or that running game going to look like this season? There are a lot of question marks with that Indianapolis team. I think that they're the favorite going into the season in the South. But I think that says a lot more about what's going on in Houston and Tennessee and Jacksonville, just where the rosters are on the other teams in that division, more so than it does how good the Colts are. Because I think the Colts are an average football team, and they're certainly beatable for the Jags there at home week three.
Right, but the big difference is the quarterback.
Oh, it's huge.
I mean, and that is when you've got a division like this, and even if you're an average team, you can elevate that average team. They've been a playoff team for the last couple of years. So they're you know, if there's not a big backslide, they've got a bit of a working margin going into the year on the rest of the division.
Sure.
Based on last season. Of course, you got Pittsburgh coming up on October 5th. That's a good one simply because there's always some animosity in the fan base, in the stands. You know, the Pittsburgh fans tend to travel well. We've discussed the many reasons why that might be. I'm not going to get back into my whole litany of insults for the Pittsburgh fans today, but, you know. Email me if you want them. I have those.
Look, it's a nationwide fan base. I mean, they just are. Pittsburgh is one of those nationwide fan bases. Every time they've ever played a game here in Jacksonville, there are a lot of Steeler fans in those stands. And because of that, the intensity gets ratcheted up. And by the way, generally speaking, they are good football games played between the Jags and the Steelers, and it really hadn't mattered how good or bad one team or the other was. They have been good football games in the history of that series, especially in this building, so I would expect much the same with the Pittsburgh team, a lot like Indy. I think that Pittsburgh and Indianapolis are kind of even with where their rosters are, and Pittsburgh just happens to be in a division with a Cincinnati team that's been pretty good the last couple of years and a Baltimore team that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So they've been left in no man's land for the last couple of seasons. But that game should be fun. It doesn't matter how good or bad either team is.
And Pittsburgh is not a world beater right now. They're certainly beatable. They're capable of beating good teams. They're capable of losing to teams that are far from being playoff teams. The Cleveland Browns come in. I think the most interest in that is will we see Johnny Manziel on the field. And, you know, putting aside the Blake Bortles versus Manziel comparisons, because they'll always be linked since they went in the first or the draft together and the Jags chose Bortles as the first QB off the board. Don't you just want to see Manziel play? I mean, I want to see what he does in the National Football League, and I certainly would love the opportunity to see it with my own eyes. I hope the Jags win that game, but I'm looking forward to seeing. I mean, and that's part of the appeal. I mean, Johnny Football is an electric performer, and he's going to have all eyes on it.
No doubt about it, and that goes back to the reason that you go to the stadium instead of stay at home to watch some NFL football games. There are stars that can get you into the seats. There are things that guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady do that you only appreciate when you're in the stadium to see them do it. And exactly what they're doing to manipulate defenses, TV doesn't translate all of that as much as it has tried. There's something about being in the stadium. Johnny Manziel and the atmosphere that he creates is something that really can only be fully experienced when you see it live. And if we get to week 7 at that point in the year and the Cleveland Browns have made the decision, whether it's because Johnny has earned it or because Brian Hoyer just hasn't looked good or injury, whatever the reason, if Johnny Manziel is playing as the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, you better get down to the stadium and see that guy play.
Miami Dolphins come in on October 26th. The fact that they're an in-state rival, there's still a lot of Dolphin fans you hear from.
Absolutely.
In the city of Jacksonville. Would love to, any opportunity as a Jets fan that Miami can lose, I relish. The New York Giants come in, and we talked about that a little bit about a month later. Texans coming in on December 7th. Might be, depending on how the Texas seasons goes, could be the least appealing game, or you may just look at the history between the two franchises, and, you know, it is a rivalry game. It has been in the division, and the Jags and Texans, no matter how good either one has been, always seem to play each other tough. One can be considerably worse than the other, and it seems like those games are generally always pretty close.
Yes, they are. Unfortunately, since the Texans got into the league, the Jags have played them even. I mean, that's unfortunate because the Houston Texans were really bad when they got into the NFL. They've been pretty good, with the exception of last year, for the last 3 or 4 years. But before that, that was a bad football team. The Jags still played them even. The games here in Jacksonville have been fun between Houston and Jacksonville, including last year when they got the win on Thursday Night Football against the Houston Texans. That was a blast.
To me, probably, the Thursday night game, December 18th versus Tennessee, might be. I'd say it is the game I'm most looking forward to because I'm anticipating not only, you know, Thursday night primetime atmosphere, which is always fun, but by that point in the season, pretty good chance you're going to see Blake Bortles on the field for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Before then, even that December 7th game, not quite sure by that point in time. You can't be sure he's going to be on the field, but that's the best chance. The later in the season you go with the Thursday night atmosphere, could be a lot of fun, obviously. And Tennessee might be an extremely beatable team once again this year.
Yeah, we've talked about it. If this is a 4-5 win team by the time we're getting to the last month of the season, it's time. You know, it's time to put Blake Bortles in, give him 3 or 4 games under his belt before we go into 2015, and he's given the reins of this team entirely. So, look, I don't anticipate this team being a lot better than a 6-7 win team at the max this season. That's where they are right now, and if we get down to the last month and we're at that 4-5 win plateau, it's time. It's time for Blake Bortles to get his chance, and hopefully that gets the team more ready for 2015. Yeah. And if that's the case, then you are talking about maybe he's making his home debut against the Giants or Texans, but it certainly could be his home debut in the regular season against Tennessee.
I think a lot of people would take 6 wins depending on how competitive those other 10 games are. Right, I mean, if you're competitive in 8 or 9 of those 10 games and they're one possession games or single digit losses and you're showing improvement, I think fans this year will accept that as a step to the future.
Yeah.
This is probably the last year you're going to be able to say that.
No doubt.
But it's got to take that significant step towards the future. So weigh in on that. excuse me, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook.com/ShagWars today, which of those home games are you most looking forward to today? Single game tickets have been on sale for about 30 minutes right now. Mark Lamping, a big part of the Jags ticket selling efforts, the president of the Jacksonville Jaguars, was on Jaguars Thursday last night with J.P. Shadrick. Here's a few of the things he had to say. Talked about not only the video boards, and for the most part, the south end zone one is done. They're expected to be ready to go on time for the July 26th unveiling. But what about what kind of content we're going to see on those video boards?
You're going to see multiple replays. You're going to see constant update on stats. You'll see constant live updates in terms of what's happening with the current drive, up-to-the-minute stats in terms of what's happening within the game. And then some of the things that are important to most avid NFL fans, which is fantasy football.
There you go.
Most avid fantasy NFL fans, fantasy football.
Yeah, he said his number that he quoted last night was 40%. I was listening when they were interviewing him, and I was like, really? It's still at 40? We got that many old fogies who just refuse to give in to the fantasy wave still.
I wonder how many, what do they say, the Jaguar season ticket base is about, it's like 51% female, is that right? Is it?
I think I
heard that. Yeah. I might
51%.
Is it 51%? Lauren told me that because Lauren is in tune with all things with the Jaguar
Women's
Club and all that stuff.
I'm a Jaguars fan and I'm a chick. Those two things go together.
Your experience, Lauren. I know there are some. I don't mean to insult women, but how many of them actually play fantasy football?
A lot of women play fantasy football. They get into it slowly, thinking that they don't want to put that much effort into it, you know, and then once they realize that they don't necessarily have to spend hours and hours like the two of you do, even in the off season, then they realize that it can be a lot of fun and it actually gets them to watch games that they wouldn't otherwise pay attention to. So, and then once they actually win some money, then they're locked in for life.
I still think that percentage of women fans that do is going to be significantly less than the men.
I do understand that. My aunt plays every year and wins her league every year.
All right.
I was going to say, I'm in a league with, it's a goofy league with just a bunch of friends of mine, but I keep convincing girls to play in it every year. We get four or five of the teams that are girls playing in the league. We've had a girl win the league the last 2 years. They have no idea what they're doing. They're having a blast doing it, and they're kicking all the boys' butts, which makes it a long season for everybody else in the league. But that kind of stuff obviously can happen with fantasy football. Look, Mark Lamping on Jaguars Thursday last night also talked about the cabanas that we've been hearing about. That second level has already been sold out.
The cabanas on the second level. Those have sold out. Second level is sort of like the VIP deck overlooking the pool, and that's why it's been, I think it's been received very, very positively. It'd be a great location. And there's cabanas at both levels. 12 on the second level. Those have all sold out for the entire season. And there's a total of 8 that are at the lower level that get access to the pool area. We still have inventory left there.
Yeah, it's funny. Jeff Prosser, I'm paraphrasing, something to the effect I heard him saying on the drill this morning that, well, maybe you should install some of these in the south end zone as well. You know, I mean, if you, these are high price premium seats compared to the average. Obviously, you've got to remove seats to make room for them. But it's good that they're having success selling them at the rate they are. Wi-Fi in the stadium has been an issue as well, and Mark Lamping gave you an update last night.
The Jaguars now are ahead of the curve with the NFL. We are one of the first teams now that are going to be fully Wi-Fi within the Seating Bowl. The real reason behind this is we need to improve the in-game experience at EverBank Field, and we need to make sure that the experience inside EverBank Field is distinctly different than what you can get at home, and at the same time, you don't have to sacrifice certain things.
Mark Lamping also talked about the on-field level seating, basically equating them to courtside seats.
If you can imagine the football equivalent of courtside seating. So these are new seats that we're placing at the field level. There's just a couple rows of them in two different locations, and they're at field level, total of 180 seats. There's still some of those available as well, and one of the cool things about that is we also have small little temporary clubs that we've built that these seats get access to. So your food, your beverage, all of that is included as part of your ticket price.
I'm guessing, and I don't know if I've been told this or not, or if this is just something that's been in my head, and I'm guessing they've got to be in the corners, right?
I would guess,
don't you think? I would have said you have the right to bring an inflatable kiddie pool so you can be just like the people in the north end zone. And you could have, you know, who knows what you could have increased the ticket price. You just throw it there on the grass up against the wall, Tony.
Right.
It's not really going to be
in anybody's way. Just put in above ground pools down there in the corners?
Maybe that. Just a small above ground pool in the corner.
Duval.
Would be fine as well. Whatever. Nicely played. All right. And finally, Mark Lampig talking about future ideas for club seats as well.
We think that it's time to refresh those. We know we have too many seats. And what we're talking about doing, and again, we haven't reached the point where we're actually moving forward with this, but the idea of opening up that club so that you can actually, you know, see the field from inside the club. So taking out some seats, replacing it with glass walls, having some common area outside, and just to freshen the whole club up. And if we do that, we think we'll accomplish a couple things. One, we'll make the experience for all club seat holders better, and we'll reduce the inventory, which will balance the supply versus demand versus compared to what we have now, which is demand that far outstrips supply.
There you go. It's demand far outstripping supply or vice versa, as far as that goes. Did he misspeak in the end there? It's demand far outstripping?
Mark Lampig never misspeaks.
I think he was saying that that's where they want to get to.
Okay, I thought he said because that's what we have now, where demand far outstrips supply. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's what he's saying. That, obviously, that's what you want. You want demand outstripping supply. If you want to maximize your dollars and cents at the end of it. All right, that was last night on Jaguars Thursday. Time to break for Blake. We got Blake Bortles, our conversation with the Jaguar future quarterback. Coming up next, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Cardinal and Cadillac Friday on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, it's Cardinal and Cadillac Friday. It's also a Friday where Lauren plays whatever the hell she wants to play. Coming out of the breaks today. Cardinal and Cadillac, check them out online at claudenolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard, 642-5111. Since 1905, Claude Nolan Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. Earlier this week, Fat Tony and I got to sit down with the future, we hope, of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
If you want to say it that way.
The man.
Thank you.
I picked up on it, Lauren.
Thank you.
What happened?
She played the man coming back from the break.
Oh.
I'll give you a little more. Yeah.
I get it.
From now
Beats
you get
by
it.
Dre. Was it Beats by Dre headphones?
Is that John Legend?
This is Aloe Black.
Yeah.
But you're close, Mike. You're in the same ballpark.
With Kaepernick and
Sherman right.
and
mm-hmm.
all those guys.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the...
Last year.
I remember the song.
The man.
I don't know what Aloe Black is, but...
Blake Bortles, the man.
The musician. He's an artist.
I take your word for it.
He was on The Voice recently, if you watched that.
He's very artsy. My wife watches that. Here's Blake Bortles. The future of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Blake Bortles here with us. How you doing, man? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's going well. Thanks for having me.
What was it like going home to Oviedo and, you know, having a caravan stop, basically from what we understand, just a couple miles from your house growing up and, you know, have the kind of the hometown come out to support what you've been doing?
Right. I think it was literally right between, you know, right in the halfway point between my house and UCF is right where the alehouse happened to be. So it was great, you know, to go be able to go back and do what Gus always talks about with connecting with the following and, you know, try and create new Jaguars fans, trying to bring some Jags fans from Orlando to Jacksonville. So it was awesome. You know, I know Storm and Cecil and myself had a great time, you know, sitting with everybody, taking pictures, signing autographs, and it was a blast.
And for you, we'll get to some of the on-field stuff with OTAs and minicamp here in a sec, but have you had a chance to really settle into Jacksonville at all yet? I know the rookies have been on just a whirlwind. Have you had a chance to get settled in Jayville?
Yeah, it's been a little crazy. You know, have definitely, you know, had this past weekend and, you know, the Monday and Tuesday today, you know, to kind of settle down. You know, so I'm renting a house in Jacks Beach and, you know, trying to get used to it and acclimate it with the area as far as, you know, some unfootball-related things, you know. Some good places to eat, some you know shops to go to and hang out and see that stuff. So trying to relax a little bit, shut it down. Headed to the symposium tomorrow, and then you know I'll start lifting again when I get back.
You come back here after that. You go to Oviedo. How are you gonna spend the next few weeks?
No, I'll be here all of July. I stay here. Figure it'd be best to stay here, be in you know a comfortable environment, a situation and an environment that I'm gonna be in for the next 6 months. So, I mean, work out in our weight room, you know, get treatment in our training room, watch film in our film room. So I think that'll be the best.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday with Marquise Lee. You guys, from the time you started your last college football season, your go, go, go as soon as you're done, you're getting ready for the draft. You're doing after, the combine, you're doing workouts for different teams. You come in here, you hit the ground running. Is this kind of the first chance you're going to have in the next month or so to kind of breathe a little bit?
Yeah, it really is. But, I mean, I think the biggest thing is you can't do nothing because, I mean, this is 3 or 4 weeks right now where you got to get ready to play a 17-game season. So I think, you got to stay after. You got to keep training. I think it's important to take a little downtime, maybe go on a little weekend vacation or something like that. But you got to get yourself in shape and ready to play.
Manziel will hook you up with some tips on where he can spend
it. It never stops with that guy. How do you feel when you look at what you've done on field here in practice in the last 5 weeks? How do you feel like you've performed?
I think it was great. You know, I think there was definitely areas where I struggled. I think there was definitely things that I need to improve on that I'll continue to work on. But I think from a learning standpoint, from taking it from, the meeting room to the field to working on certain things with Frank that I'm trying to work on physically, you know, footwork stuff, getting better at that each and every day. And you can see it, you know, from OTA 1 to the last day of minicamp. You can see the difference and the improvement that I've made and that, you know, I need to continue to try and make.
You don't put yourself in the position to be drafted third overall unless you're a high-caliber athlete. You've played with high-caliber athletes. But is there somebody or maybe a couple of people that just from practices, OTAs, minicamp that you're like, wow, this is the NFL, man. This, you know, who opened your eyes a little bit in that regard?
I think, you know, I think the overall speed of the defense, I think, people talk about the windows and how much smaller they are and all that, and I think it's true. You know, I think going out there, I mean, guys are covered most of the time, and you got to find a way to get them the ball. I think was probably the biggest thing for me is saying, you know, well, that guy's covered. It's like, well, you're in the NFL, they're all covered. You got to find a way to get them the ball and, you know, put it in a spot where the defender can't get it and your guy can. So I think that was the eye-opening thing for me is the overall speed and athleticism, of our defense. And it was great to go against some, all OTAs.
You've mentioned before, Blake, that you're focusing on the footwork since you got here to Jacksonville after being drafted. Do you feel like you're progressing in that area? And how much is working on that affecting the other stuff you're doing throwing the ball?
It's a work in progress. I've definitely made, some strides in the right direction, the things that me and Frank talk about and what we want to work on. And, you know, our goal is to own a couple things and then move on and own a couple more things and continue to work on those things. But, it definitely affects, throwing the ball, I think, a little bit, because you're working on things with your lower body. That's what you're focused on. And then it's like, oh, I messed something up top that I usually don't mess up because I'm worried so much about my lower body. So, I mean, that kind of stuff happens. But I think we're taking it one day at a time, one type of fundamental at a time to continue to improve the whole thing.
What's the relationship like with you and Chad Henne? Is it like a daily? Do you compare notes after practice every day? I mean, obviously, you're in the quarterback meetings, but what has it been like?
It's been great. You know, he's been a great mentor. He's been a great friend. Somebody I can ask football questions to. Somebody I can ask, life questions to. Situations. You know, if you were put in the situation, or when you were put in the situation, how'd you handle it? I think being in the same room with him, being able to watch film with him, hearing him talk and make comments, and then being able to ask him questions as well. And how would you read this, or how would you react to that? It's been great. It's been a lot of fun. Learning from him and Frank and Ricky as well.
Blake, didn't have the chance to ask you about this. A couple weeks ago, the team had a practice where Coach Bradley had to stop everything and talk to you guys in the middle of a Monday practice, and he said that you came up to him later that afternoon into his office and just said that you didn't feel like you had played well enough in that practice. What made you feel like it was your responsibility to go talk to Coach Bradley about what had happened that Monday?
I think, it's just kind of the offense goes as the quarterback goes. I mean, that's kind of the leadership that is given to play in the quarterback position. And it was an off day. You know, I was going to have good days and bad days through OTAs. I knew that, and I think most people know that. But, I mean, it was just something that, I felt that I struggled, and, I just wanted him to know that, and I wanted to talk about it with him and have a discussion with him about it. So, it was good. I really enjoyed that and tried to eliminate the bad days.
I know Gus preaches, let's get better each day kind of thing. But do you set out, do you have – like at the beginning of OTAs, you guys sit down, he talks about vision, having a vision. And as he said, this is where we want to see you in a couple weeks, or is it that specific, or is it just more like a day by day, take that next step each day?
Yeah, I think it's both. You know, I think you got a vision of, you know, there was a vision of what you wanted to do and accomplish by the end of OTAs, and there was how you're going to get there each individual day. So, I mean, picking out, you know, detailed things of accomplishing that overall goal and stuff like that. So, I mean, being connected with your vision, working on it every day, working on it at practice, working on it after practice, and continuing to try to get better and raise the bar.
Was it frustrating at all for you or the quarterbacks with what was going on in OTAs, the entries in the wide receiver core, with Cecil being out and the two rookies being out as well, Mike Brown even? I mean, at one point, the top five or six potentially on this step chart not able to practice. Was that frustrating for you guys?
I know. It was crazy. But, I mean, no, it was fine. There was guys out there. It gave some other guys some opportunities, and I think that was awesome to see. You know, but those guys went out there and worked their tails off and did a great job stepping up and filling in. So it was a great learning opportunity, and, you know, I think those guys did a great job.
Any one of those guys you felt like maybe you had any particular chemistry with, or was there somebody that you said, wow, this guy really was kind of the standout pass catcher here?
Yeah, they all stepped up and did a great job. I think Alan Hearns, you know, had a great camp. You know, he got his opportunity and made the most of it, and it was fun to watch.
You got two trees out there, tight end too. What's it like throwing to a guy like Mercedes Lewis, who's almost 7 feet tall? I mean, you just throw it up and let him go make a play.
Yeah, he's a monster. He's you know, he's a freak of nature, being that big and being able to run and be athletic and move and get in and out of cuts. And you know, you can throw the ball anywhere around him, and he's got the ability to go get it. So it's definitely fun throwing to him.
Yeah, Marcel Jensen doesn't look like a small guy.
No, not at all.
yeah, quarterback's best friend, man. Just look for that that big guy. All right, so for you. Pretty much everything you expected, more than you expected, or what, this whole experience up until now?
You know, it was zero expectations coming into it. I had no idea. I had no idea what the offense would be like. I had no idea what the locker room would be like, the coaching staff, you know, on and off the field. You know, you have an idea for meeting them, you know, in meetings and all that stuff, but you don't know how they're going to act, you know, post-draft, you know, when you're just a guy on the team. So, you know, and everything has been unbelievable. And from the environment that Gus and Dave have created here in the locker room, to how we practice, to the meetings, you know, it's been unbelievable, and I can't imagine you know, any place better than to be here in Jacksonville, especially as a rookie.
Now, that's what you know, Jaguar fans obviously hoping for a lot. We understand the timetable they've set for you is one to, you know, be patient. When you're ready to go, that's when we'll see you play, and you know, take advantage, enjoy the next few weeks a little bit, you know, and the rookie symposium. I don't know if you enjoy that or not, but it's one of those things you got to do. Pay attention, take notes, and but enjoy the next few weeks, man, because it is, as much as it's a great profession to be in, it is a job, it can be a grind, we understand that. So we appreciate you taking some time out. You know, come back, tear them up in training camp.
Thank you guys very much for having me.
All right, you got it. Blake Bortles, your quarterback of the future here in Jacksonville, spending a few minutes with us here on Jaguars Today. All right, halftime's over with Jaguars Today. That means it's time for This Date in Football History. It's brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Couple of quick things that happened on This Date in Football History. One, we realized that a year from now's date in football history will be incorrect, the one Tony gave you yesterday.
Sorry.
Called for a 1-1 draw. But
also called for him to get out of group.
So did I.
Which they did.
So did I. They did get out of the group stage and go on to the knockout stage. Team USA. Brent Boyer's birthday today. Fat Tony. Happy, let me do the math, 43rd birthday to the former Jacksonville Jaguar linebacker. A sad story that I had forgotten about, to be honest with you, but reading some recaps of it from 1986, I remember Don Rogers was a safety at a UCLA, All-American. Went to play for the Cleveland Browns, and early in his career, his first couple years of his career, was voted the hardest working guy on the team by his teammates. Mm-hmm. You know, all around great success story, young kid, you know, making his way in the National Football League. This date, it was 8 days after the death of Len Bias, who a lot, you know, that. To me, living through that era, being a big sports fan, I was a high school senior in 86, that was like the seminal moment of the wave of crack cocaine, you know, hitting the United States. And at the time, I don't remember all the details, but I remember it was pitched like Len Bias had never used drugs before, did it once, tried crack. At least that's what they said he used.
Sure.
Some people say it was cocaine. I don't know what he did.
Well, it took a culture in America that basically had turned a cheek to what was going on with cocaine in America. It was like, oh, that's just something that people are doing right now. Then Len Bias died, and it was like, wait.
Right. Len Bias, who was the second overall pick, I believe, by the Boston Celtics out of Maryland, he dies. 8 days later, Don Rogers dies of a cocaine overdose. Again, so you had two athletes in the highest leagues in their profession, the NBA, or about to go into the NBA, and one in the NFL. And I don't know if it makes it any more sad, but he was scheduled to be married the next day. So you can imagine this is like bachelor party gone bad kind of scenario. And it, much like Len Bias, all of Don Rogers' friends swore at the time, straight edger, guy never did anything, maybe got caught up in the moment. And, I mean, that was part of all this was going on in 86. It was a crazy time.
Look, either way, it's a shame. Whether he was a habitual user or not, it's a shame to lose somebody that young. That was that talented.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I mean, again, on the day before his wedding, he was supposed to get married the very next day. So Don Rogers passed away. And I forget who it was at the time. I think it was one of his coaches who said that if you take it the right way, he probably has done more in death. This will probably be, you know, bigger than anything he would have done in football had he gone on to live, because this will bring more attention. Hopefully it will steer a lot of young people away from it. I don't know if it had that impact or not. I know Len Bias's name is still brought up as a boogeyman when it comes to drug use, and I don't mean that in a negative way. You don't hear Don Rogers' name brought up
same
regard.
He's
forgotten.
There's a couple documentaries, one specifically, Cocaine Cowboys, that was about the infiltration of cocaine in Miami. And Len
Phenomenal.
Bias, yeah, Len Bias
show.
Is somebody that was mentioned specifically on that documentary. Is somebody who changed the culture in America regarding how we viewed cocaine in our society. Len Bias is one of the names that gets brought up, that this is when the wave of momentum started to change against that particular drug.
That was on this date in 1986. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're just in the market for a family dentist, either way, Dr. McCall can help you. If you give his office a call at 620-9225, they are a certified Invisalign provider. And if you're a first-time customer, you get 10% off your initial visit. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com and get a complete list of comprehensive care services. One of your new duties in your ever-expanding media empire,
yes,
Fat Tony, you're now the stadium voice of the Jacksonville Axemen. Let's say hello to our good friend Spinner Howland, the founder of the Jacksonville Axemen.
I'll tell you what, there's been some changes down here since last time I was up this end of the building.
Is that right?
The
what's new?
Mate, all the cubicles out there are all lowered. There's a lot more glass windows going on. The studio looks fantastic. Got to hand it to Shahid Khan and the boys down here. This place is really nice.
It's Tony and I have
mate,
done it. Mostly.
Oh,
we came in. We said,
you guys.
You know what? If we're going to work in this environment every day, there need to be some things done around here. Come on.
Mate, I'll give credit where it's due. Mate, it looked good. I walked you out. There are a lot of changes in here.
Well,
great.
Honestly, I mean, I think one of the things when they brought in Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley is they wanted more of an open-door policy. You know, they wanted people to be able to walk. Everyone was kind of closed off, you know, in their offices now.
I agree.
Yeah, windows everywhere. You know, you got the big window behind you, which Jackson DeVille tried to moon us through the other day until I whipped out the camera, and then he got a little scared.
That's a lot of moon.
He got a little chicken on that. Axemen off to another great start, huh?
Oh, mate, fantastic for them. 3-0, new teams, new conference, a lot of new stuff going on with the team this year. New title sponsor. Which was great, Dr. Clayman's Plastic Surgery. And, of course, the jokes have already started with some of the faces on some of the boys that you wouldn't expect.
Have you partaken of his services, I want to know, in
mate,
the past.
Have a look at this mug. I think I've been anywhere near a plastic surgeon. Mate, there's been a week's worth of work on the front of this dial.
Tony, I know you've enjoyed your new role. I know it's only been one game.
Yeah, it's been awesome. They had their home debut last week. And, Spinner, for fans who haven't had the chance, maybe they didn't go out last Saturday, we got another game coming up tomorrow at 5:00, but just talk about this new brand of rugby that you guys are playing.
Mate, it's not really a new brand. We always play the same brand, but we had to think this year. I think, you know, the light bulb finally went on that rugby in general in the US has been here for a lot of decades, but there are different codes of rugby. There's the sevens tournaments, which you see the colleges play, and it's off to the Olympics in a couple of years. Then there's the traditional rugby, the oldest code, the 15-man code. And then right in the middle is the sport we play, which is unfortunately called rugby league, which is a bad name for sport, let's be honest. You've got a rugby league. It's a bit odd for Americans, but it is essentially the 13-man code, and it is basically a hybrid between traditional rugby rules and American football. The game is played in defined sets of downs or tackles, so you get basically six downs to score. It's essentially like American football. You usually play your five if you haven't scored or you're not in an attacking position on the field. You kick for field position. We call it a try. You can call it a touchdown. You convert for extra points after the touchdown. Mate, we're okay with branding a sport in an American terminology. We realize we're in a foreign market. So let's let the fan base enjoy it in a language that they understand. So if they want to call a tackle a down, if they want to call a pass a pitch, if they want to call, well, I call the field anyway. It doesn't have to, you don't play in a pitch, you play in a field. mate, going into touch, as we refer to, as going out of bounds. We're completely okay with Americanizing our game and especially its terminology for what essentially is a new sport in a new sporting market. Americans know nothing about the history, traditions, or culture overall of our sport. So as far as we're concerned, rugby league in Jacksonville is 9 years old, which is when the Axemen started. So come out and enjoy it in a way that you understand. And that's why you're a huge part of it. I mean, not only do you have a commanding voice, I'll be honest, you're definitely heard all over the venue, but it is Americanizing our sport. And I've no problem with that whatsoever. Come and enjoy it. Why should you have to learn a new sporting language to enjoy a new sport? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
And I think there's some of that, honestly, from some people feel that there's some pretension with, like, you know, soccer. You know, there's sure. A certain lingo to soccer that you use. And if you're not on the inside and understand what all the lingo is, you feel like,
It alienates some potential fans.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And whether that's dumb or not, it's the truth. And, I mean, it's smart. If you're running a business, why alienate anybody?
Right? No, absolutely. Especially when you are the minnow in a giant fishbowl full of sharks. And we are so small in the sporting landscape here. Let's do whatever we can to embrace the fan. Let's bring them out, talk to them in a language they understand, and give them a sporting product they can sit there, at least understand it to the point where they can enjoy it. It's like, oh, okay, get it. I got a running back and linebackers essentially smashing into one another and hurry up offense. Yeah, that's essentially the game. If that's all you want to know and you can enjoy that, that's completely okay by me.
You're playing the Atlanta Rhinos tomorrow, right?
Yeah, mate, new team. Obviously, they're linked up with the Leeds Rhinos, which have been to Jacksonville multiple times. They're a good squad. They've got their full complement of import players in. They're coached by an Australian. They'll be a tough team. It's going to be a tough game tomorrow for the Jacksonville Axemen without any doubt whatsoever. And I imagine that it will be, I don't know whether the word vicious fits correctly in the in what we can and can't condone.
It's vicious family entertainment.
Mate, last weekend was a pretty vicious game.
It was.
Yeah, it was. And look, that's a part of the game. It's a tough sport played by tough men. So within the rules of the game, even if it gets close to the line of the rules, let the boys sort it out in the field.
How did you, soccer, 90 minutes of pretending you're hurt, rugby is 80 minutes of pretending you're not hurt. That's
mate,
how it was.
Yeah, someone shot that over to me on the Facebook the other day, and I got to admit, look, I be honest, I'm into the World Cup for the fact that it's a World Cup. The Australian Socceroos never do much good once they get in a big international competition, but you can't help but support a nation. When your nation sort of goes into any tournament, you've got to get behind it. The flopping here as a rugby guy, and I think most soccer enthusiasts really don't care much for the flopping either.
No.
The biting incident, that's got to go. And something you said yesterday, Tony, I'd have stood up and that guy he'd have been biting the end of my fist about nine times.
Are you kidding
biting's
me?
Just not on. But look, I'll follow the soccer, but I did have a giggle. Someone flicked that over to me about the rugby being 80 minutes of pretending you're not hurt with a guy with
it was fantastic.
About a foot long gash in his head and he's leaking all over the place.
Now it, with the thought that, you know, when the national team plays, everybody's into it. What is the United States' chances of qualifying for Olympic rugby sevens in 2016?
Mate, I will have to take a look at that. I think they may have already qualified.
Have they?
I'll have to take a look at the qualifying bracket.
If we will invade Brazil.
No, look,
we're
sevens,
gonna do that at one point.
Sevens is a game that is somewhat built for the American athlete. It's seven players on a field, so if you've got speed,
a lot of space.
Mate, a lot of space, a lot of guys with good footwork, a lot of speed, you can get around a lot of players. So it takes away probably some of the maybe the skill set that would be in more of the traditional rugby codes, whether it be 13 or 15 aside, and it gives an advantage at some stage to a guy that's got decent footwork and can turn the burners on.
All right, give me the quick overview. JackSax.com is all the info.
Yeah, JackSax.com.
You guys are the cheapest tickets. I mean, when I say cheap, inexpensive tickets. It's a great afternoon of entertainment for very little money to come out and enjoy a hell of a sport.
Oh, mate, we're not too humble for that. We're great. We love the fact that we are great sporting entertainment. You walk up, it's $8 to get in. Or if you want to sit in the chop zone and actually have in-seat concession service, you pay $12. But with the Axe Maiden cheerleaders are fantastic. A lot of those ladies have gone on to the Raw or to the Sharks. I mean, it really is a professional operation.
It's like the D-League for the cheerleaders. Come on up, the developmental league.
Mate, it's great.
Fantastic.
It is fantastic. There will be a minor league game tomorrow. Both these teams have enough guys trying to make the squad. We'll have a 30-minute pre-game minor league game, which is always full of some fun too. There's guys like to get out there and prove that they're worthy, and that always ends up into fireworks at times. And then, look, the game itself. We'll explain it to you as best we can in American football terminology. 15 and under. Your kids 15 and under this year get in free.
Nice.
Thanks to Republic Services for stepping up for that. So bring the family out. Enjoy a couple of cheap beers. Bud Light, $2. Mate, $8 to get in a beer for $2 and watch grown men belt snot out of one another. I mean, really, let's be honest. How American does that get? It's cheap.
Pretty much the definition of America right there.
It's cheap to get in, it's cheap beer, and it's grown men belting snot out of one another.
And I know there's a bunch of football fans in this city that are jonesing right now.
Get a little
fix.
Get a little action before training camp of guys hitting other guys. And like you said, the snot will not be retained in your opponent for very long. And Tony's commanding presence.
I was
going to
say,
voice.
Mate, the new stadium voice is something special.
That's really the reason to come
that's
out.
That's why he's in the studio, in ladies and gentlemen.
We thought about bumping prices up just to hear him.
All right, well, tomorrow, UNF Hodges Stadium taking on the Atlanta Rhinos. Get there early if you want to see the minor league squads go at each other. But it's $8 to get in, 15 and under for free, $2 beers, and Fat Tony on the microphone. What more could you want? Spinner, good to see you, buddy.
You too, mate.
There you go. Spinner Howland visiting the Jaguars today studios on behalf of the Jacksonville Axemen. Frank Wycheck coming up next, talking a little Tennessee Titan football here with you. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, it's Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Thanks to Spinner Howland stopping in the Jaguars Today studios with the Jacksonville Axemen. We're supporting all the combat sports here. You know, we like the Sharks. We like the Axemen.
Yeah.
We love the Jags. That's how we roll on Jaguars Today. And you'll on occasion get a little U.S. men's national team talk as well, at least for the next week, it seems.
I'll talk about it whenever you want to, but I understand.
By the way, we got a new sponsor coming on board next week, Foundation Professionals of Florida, and we're going to have a fun new little feature. You can start thinking about this now. We're going to do a weekly Fan of the Week kind of contest, like photo contest, right? And next week's a short week because we've got July 4th on Friday.
I'll be doing a show, by the way.
You'll be doing a show on July 4th?
I sure will.
What will you be doing on July 4th?
I'll be doing a show with Andrew Gibson, a.k.a. Agent Gibbs, and Scott Manzi, a.k.a. Sut, and a.k.a. the voice of the Dolphins. The three of us are going to hang out and talk July 4th and maybe some football.
And when will this air?
It will be from 8 to 11:30 on the actual July 4th day.
In the morning. And what are we airing that afternoon? Do we know? Yeah, are we airing?
We do know. I can look that up. I know it's a baseball game. I forget exactly which one. And then we do have another show in the afternoon.
Oh, this is
so we'll be live and local.
Our Miss Brooks. is this your hosting debut?
Well, I did part of The Rush in the fall with Frank Frangie and Chad Scott live at Jerry's. And then I also
Frangie
did...
Frangie and Chad are kind of minor league. I mean, let's be honest. This is your first big-time opportunity.
I did one day on Thanksgiving. I did with some guys. They used to do a Sunday show. So that was fun. So I love it. I think it's a blast.
Well, so anyway, short week next week. Think of it, every week it's going to have a photo contest. Lauren actually came up with this idea. It's a fantastic idea. We're talking about, you know, like one week we'll say, show us your Jaguar pets, you know, because we know there are people out there, pet lovers, who get their little doggy sweaters in teal and gold and
stuff. That's right. We'll ask you to torture your animal.
I think there are people that already torture their animals. We just want the photographic evidence of it. But our first one, we're going to make it a two-week deal the first time. It's going to be patriotic Jaguars. That's the theme. I'll leave it up to you, because we got July 4th to determine exactly what that means. And we want one photo submission. And what you'll be playing for is tickets to the home opener against the Indianapolis Colts.
Very cool.
So that's not too shabby. The Tennessee Titans come calling on December 18th. We've been calling on Frank Wycheck. Frank Wycheck's not answering his phone at the moment.
Shame, Frank.
It is a shame for Frank because he's missing a big opportunity to come on and join us here. He's on the wake-up zone on 104.5 in Nashville. But, Tony, really, this is a team that I see a lot of pundits saying just automatically is going to be better than the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think the big question with them, clearly, is what are you going to get out of Jake Locker this year, and how long will you get that this year? Because he has not been able to stay healthy whatsoever. You got Charlie Whitehurst behind him, who has played considerably less football than Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has since moved on to the Houston Texans. So they don't have that experienced, game-experienced backup like they've had in the past. And history has proven so far you need a backup quarterback when Jake Locker is your starter.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, Charlie Whitehurst is kind of meh. You know, I mean, it's just meh. Just
got
like
the hair.
Jake
That's
Locker.
What he's got, right?
Jake Locker is kind of meh.
Seattle tried to bring in Charlie Whitehurst, didn't they? From San Diego. He was in San Diego. As a backup,
so. Yeah.
And tried to go, you know, did he play? Did he fill in for Phillip Rivers at some point and look decent doing it in some kind of?
I know I saw him play in some regular season game. I can't remember what the circumstance was, if it was they were getting beat bad enough that Charlie Whitehurst was asked to play. But I feel like it was like a Sunday or Monday night game, too, that we saw Charlie Whitehurst on a national stage.
They're expecting or hoping for a big jump from Justin Hunter this year, the rookie wide receiver last year out of Tennessee and other parts as well as started at Tennessee. Kendall Wright had probably the quietest, I think it was like a 96-catch season last year, but I think that was out of necessity as much as anything. I just love...
He didn't get in the end zone much.
No. Well, he's not a big guy, but... Other than that, it was kind of an anomaly. He caught so many passes, and I think he scored twice last year. It was a Jason Witten-esque kind of season. He seems to have had a few of those over his career as well. But I remember last year, the thing that stands out for the Titans is just how sad Delanie Walker was when the Jaguars beat Tennessee last year, and how angry and upset, and how can this team possibly beat our great juggernaut that earned themselves a top-10 selection in this
Will
year's
Blackman
NFL
got
draft.
Him.
He did get him. It was fantastic. But they're making some changes defensively as well, going to more of a 3-4 look. You're going to see a guy like Derek Morgan try to play outside linebacker.
If he can finally live up to the potential he had when they drafted. I mean, he's just been an underwhelming player since he got drafted.
I tend to think that a guy who came into the league as a 4-3 guy and has had opportunities to play. Now, he suffered some injuries himself and hasn't really emerged at this point. Making the switch to 3-4 outside linebacker is going to do one of two things. It's either going to all of a sudden put him in a position to succeed like he's never been before, and they'll realize they should have been using him differently all along, or it's going to bury him as far as his NFL future goes, because not everybody makes that transition as smoothly as, say, Robert Mathis did for the Colts last year.
Sure. I mean, we talked about the Houston Texans a couple days ago, and when you look at the roster for Houston, you're like, man, look at the... There are a couple guys you point to and you go, what a talent. You know, I mean, Houston does have those couple guys where you look at them and go, whoa, that's a scary type of player. When you start looking at Indianapolis, you have Andrew Luck and what really that scares you, especially with Robert Mathis not being available the first month. There is nobody on the Tennessee roster that I look at and say, yeah, that guy's scary. Like, even at the top level of his position in the league, there's just nobody I look at that way. Michael Griffin is a pretty good player, has been for a while in the NFL now. Kendall Wright is a pretty good player, but he's not to that status in the league. They let Chris Johnson walk away, looking at Bishop Sankey and Sean Green in the backfield. They certainly don't have it at the quarterback position right now. The offensive line looks like it could be pretty good.
That's the unit, though. That could be and that's the thing. We look at who are the best players in the National Football League, and we tend to look at guys that make those big splash plays, whether it's, you know,
sure,
offensive playmakers or defensive players. That offensive line, Michael Roos, Taylor Lewan, who they drafted as a rookie this year, and Andy Levitre and Chance Warmack at the guard spots with those other two tackles, they got a chance to be really good at 4 out of the 5 spots on the offensive line.
No, they do, and we'll see how well that works out for the Titans, but that's something they've been focusing on for 2 off-seasons now, is we're going to get the offensive line right and then see if we can fill in some of the other pieces as we go along. They might have hit on Kendall Wright. They might have hit on Justin Hunter and might have a couple playmakers there at wide receiver. Delanie Walker was a surprise for them last year, how well he played at times for the Tennessee Titans. But look, you only go as far as your quarterback takes you in this league. And right now, Jake Locker is what? I mean, really, what is
he's
he going
to
give you?
That is flashed, even to this point. That's really all he's done is flashed a little bit. He's had a couple of big games, but he's also had a lot of wild inconsistency. And like we said, the biggest thing with him is the number one ability in the NFL is availability. That's an old coach's saying. And with Jake Locker, he just hasn't been able to give them that on a consistent basis to the point where, look, you knew the Jags were not going to invest in the long-term future of Blaine Gabbert. They're right now at that tipping point with the Tennessee Titans. They didn't pick up the fifth-year option on Jake Locker's contract, which they could have, and they're going to ride it out. Locker, what are the chances that he goes out there, has a healthy season, proves he is the guy that they should build their future around? If he does that, they could always franchise him if necessary or try to work out a long-term deal. But right now, if it turns out that Locker isn't the guy, you got to start over fresh again next season. And at least in the Jag sense, if you're going to have a guy that turns out to not be the guy, in the case of Blaine Gabbert, find it out as early as possible,
right,
and move on to the next.
And we'll see if in 2015 they've really found that answer in Blake Bortles. Maybe later this year we'll see with the Jags. When you look at Tennessee and Jake Locker, you talk about the injury problems. Look, he started 18 games in the last 2 years. They didn't ask him to start his rookie year. They let him sit and learn the position during his first year up in Tennessee. But in the last 2 years where he had been given the reins as the starting quarterback, played 18 out of 32 games. I mean, he missed 14 games due to injury. You can't have that right out of your starting quarterback. Here's a guy that went 8-10 in those games that he was playing for Tennessee. I mean, the numbers don't jump off the page to you. 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions last year in 7 games. It's just bleh. I mean, you're getting one touchdown a game out of the quarterback position in this league today. It's not enough.
What
we talked about with Chad Henne, look, the numbers aren't enough. You need a year out of him where if you're going to say you're the man this year, he needs to throw for 20-plus touchdowns minimum.
Right, 20-plus touchdowns with mid-teens and the interceptions at maximum.
Right.
Right.
A touchdown a game is not enough.
No, I agree with you. But he does get what he gives you, and I think that Chad Henne doesn't, is he gives you an athletic upside.
Sure.
That every once in a while you see a throw that you're like, wow, that's a big-time throw out of this guy. He's certainly, at his size, is one of the more athletic and mobile quarterbacks in the league, which in part has led to some of the injuries that he has suffered. But you see a dynamic package of skills, but a lot of guys, you know what, Jamarcus Russell had some dynamic skills that got him drafted number one overall.
He had top-of-the-chart skills in some areas.
A package of skills isn't necessarily going to get you anywhere in the National Football League if you can't pair it with some kind of consistency, and he hasn't been able to do that up until this point. All right, no Frank Wycheck today, maybe at a future date as we continue to take a look at some of the Jaguars' opponents in 2014. Coming up next, we'll look around the web, what you weighed in on today, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight, asking you, which of these home games on the Jags scheduled this year are you most looking forward to, as single game tickets went on sale at 10 a.m. this morning? We'll get into that and wrap up our thoughts for the week on Jaguars today. Coming up next on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank Field on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Look at bobblehead Tony over there. Love it. All right, Tony, Fat Tony, Mike Dempsey here with you.
Hi.
Jaguars today, brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac every Friday. Jaguar training camp, often open to the public, and the great thing is they're not charging you admission.
No.
When you come in. They don't charge you to park, right?
Charges admission to training camp? Those uppity teams who are celebrating
those
titles.
Those Reach teams, yes, like the Seattle Seahawks, maybe one day. I think, put it this way, if Jag fans could get a Super Bowl victory, right. I think they'd pay $7 to go see a training camp.
The
practice.
Training camp, yeah. I think if you're hoisting the trophy from the year before, if they said, "Hey, we're gonna need $5 for you guys to park at camp the next year," I think most of the fans would be like, "All right, let's roll."
So what do we? 12 practices, 30,000 tickets. If I do the math, you're talking about what, 2,500 people a practice? Right?
Somewhere in
Sounds
there.
About right, right? I mean, the Jags had that one rookie minicamp where they had 6,000 people in there. I think that sounds right. 12, yeah, that would be correct. Trust me on the math on that one. 2,500 people. They have a total of 12 sessions, 30,000 tickets. They sold them, put them on sale for $7 a piece. They say it's not really admission to training camp, but that it's a transportation fee because fans have to park off-site. So, I don't know, maybe they shuttle them over there. $7, still not going to break you, typically. But that's a quick $210,000 that the organization made. But
sweet.
In the end, how much does $210,000 impact the bottom line? I guess it's revenue that you probably don't have to share with anybody else. There are always salaries of somebody to pay for in the organization. But
sure.
I just remember, Tony, before the wonderful folks from Everbank stepped up and took the naming rights here to Everbank Field, when Wayne Weaver seemed annually to be seeking that naming rights sponsor for the stadium, that I believe the figure at the time they're talking about, they wanted to get like $2 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you contrast that obviously with like Cowboys Stadium where they're getting like, what is it? Or the AT&T, is it the AT&T does the new Meadowlands? Is that what it is?
I think so.
Something
no,
like
it's
20.
MetLife.
Is it MetLife? Yeah, whatever it is. See, it doesn't pay. It doesn't pay to be a naming rights sponsor unless you're Everbank. but they're getting like $20-25 million. Obviously, it's a different market. But I just remember thinking at the time, like $2 million a year. You're an NFL franchise, and one of the most recent years that was happening, they trade Mike Thomas to Detroit for a draft pick. And Mike Thomas was making about $2 million on his new contract that he had. And I said, let's just call it Mike Thomas Stadium this year, because there's your $2 million that you just got. Did that, I mean, the impact of trading Mike Thomas and taking that $2 million off your salary cap, is that the same as the $2 million? Maybe the money's distributed differently and all that stuff, but
sure.
It always seemed to me like, man, $2 million, you know, that naming rights thing was like the big white whale at times of the Weaver administration. You know, we got to have this. Now, I'm sure it's important, and Everbank is a nice piece to the puzzle, but when you see all these other things that the Jags have going on, you realize that's all it is. It's one piece to the puzzle. Unless you're in a market that you can get one of those ridiculous deals for $20 million for the naming rights or something like that. That's
right.
That's a significant chunk of your salary cap right there. Probably doesn't even, you know, still, I don't know how much that impacts your bottom line, whether that should make or break you. $210,000 just seems like we're doing it because we can, because we won the Super Bowl and you will pay this.
Sure, why not? And that doesn't include whatever they're going to get from concessions and gear that they're selling at those training camp practices, too. I mean, they'll have all that available to fans.
Right, but they'd get that whether they charge people to get in or not.
They would, and it sounds like they may just have a stadium in a spot where you can't get to it directly. They force you to, you know, jump in a bus and head over to that.
I was there once, and I couldn't tell you what the complete, I don't know where they're, well, that's the thing. I was at the stadium. I don't know about where they hold their training camp practices. So that's
no idea.
Point. No idea. Let's move on. Let's get a Super Bowl. Would you, I think if we put the question up there, would you pay $7 for access to training camp practices provided the Jags won the Super Bowl? You'd get a resounding lot of yeses, I think, on that one. Because
I think a lot of people would say yes.
Yes.
I mean, that could get a little expensive, say, if you're one of those who likes to come out for, you know, 10 practices a year.
Or you could choose not to go to training camp practice and have the memories of the Super Bowl to fall back on.
Is training camp worth $100 to you?
Yeah, well, you know? I mean, that's the thing. $100, 12 practices, $7 a pop, $84 for your training camp season tickets, I guess, for the Seattle Seahawks is one way to look at it. And then you got to be able to go out there and go to all these practices that are in the middle of the day.
Sure.
And all that stuff. And the kind of people, what do you got, a bunch of retirees? Who's got that kind of time available to go to all those practices?
Young people.
Young
like
people.
Me.
Right. Do you have $84 laying around?
Not to go to practice.
Not to go to practice. Right. That's really why you and I went into the sports media.
Yep. Free stuff.
We're cheap. Okay. we want the access. We don't want to have to pay for it. Tony, today we asked folks in the fan feedback spotlight to please tell us which home game they're most looking forward to with single game tickets going on sale today. Give me a sample of what we got today.
All right, here we go with Christoph first, our England listener and caller. Cowboys going to be representing at the Bold City Brigade UK division with at BCB underscore UK hashtag Duval. So he'll be at the Cowboys game over there in London. From David, the home game I'm most looking forward to is the one in the playoffs. Hashtag Jaguars today.
I like that one.
I do too.
That's a progressive thinker.
From Brian, we got the first one because I can't wait for football to be back. Hashtag Jaguars today.
That's good too.
From Bortleboards Miami, which I'll be visiting from California for. Hashtag Jaguars today. So coming all the way from Cali to come watch the Jags take on the Dolphins. From Sean, Jags versus Browns, Bortles versus Manziel. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Harold, the first weekend in January when the Jags host a wild card game. Hashtag Jaguars today.
I believe we will win.
From Eric, Pittsburgh. We play them tough, an old AFC Central rivalry. Houston for tailgating, though. We do steaks. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Dustin, Titans, primetime, enough said. Hashtag Jaguars today. And from Stevie, our Irish Jaguar fan, he's not to be outdone by the Englishman. I can actually only go to one game versus Dallas and Wembley. Hashtag Jaguars today.
You're not dedicated enough there, Stevie. You could go to more. All right, we'll put you up. Tony and I will alternate putting you up for every Jaguar home game that you make it over to Jacksonville for. Did I just commit to that?
You did.
For the 2014 season only, all right, until we get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah.
Our friend Chris
Wayne. And I hope
Wayne,
you enjoy tailgating because we'll be coming to the stadium about it.
Oh,
we'll
be here very early for game day duties. Our friend Chris Wayne on our Facebook page said because he's so fond of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation, he is partial to the November 30th Giants game, and he also added shameless plug, you can buy tickets to any Jags game through the J Fund and at the same time help local families tackle childhood cancer.
I'm wearing my J Fund shirt today.
You are? That's right. You're probably one of many J Fund shirts that we've had. We love those guys. But you can find that link on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Jaguars today. Saqib said the Steelers game will be sold out for sure, but he hates them so much he does not want to see their nasty ass fans there. So I concur with you, Saqib.
Sorry, Mom. Ow. Not concur.
What can I tell you? I told you I think Tennessee for me because I think there's the best chance for Blake to be playing. It's prime time Thursday night. And that means that week, that Sunday, I get to sit home and watch football all Sunday,
sure,
too. That's a bonus for me. What about you, Lauren Brooks? Which game are you most looking forward to at home this year?
Well, I'm, of course, looking forward to the home opener against the Colts, but I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to say the very first preseason game.
Yo!
When we host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Because I hope a certain fullback will be playing in that game.
Mm. Oh, she's a Lonnie Pryor guy. That's
guy? I'm a Lonnie Pryor guy?
Oh, right, well, gal. What did I say? That's right. I called Heidi Holly today. And
exactly.
Just called you a dude.
That's so cool. Whatever.
Stellar day for Mike MT.
It's Friday. It's been actually one of my better ones in that regard. Overall, she's a Lonnie Pryor gal.
She sure is.
Ladies and gentlemen. And
that's the truth, world.
And
soon, I hope he's listening right now.
Soon we'll unveil all the wonderful game day plans that the three
soon
of us have and how we will be spending some of game day with you via the magic of 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Radio. What is the one thing you want to know about Hacker's engagement, y'all?
How? How did it happen?
All right.
Like how?
Like
seriously,
what's
what are
the
you
story
thinking,
here?
Heidi? What are you thinking?
Oh, Mike.
That's what I mean. Well, I mean, we're being honest here. How?
I want to know how he proposed.
Such a great girl.
The tweet that I saw earlier today, was it you that was having the conversation with him where he was just like, I had to get to work and get out of that situation? Like,
yes, there was a lot of girlish excitement. And so as soon as he got here, he said, that's why I'm here early. I had to get to work. I had to get out of that situation.
So he proposed to this woman who he loves, mm-hmm, and then he bolted because she was excited about accepting the proposal.
And then, right, I think there's a lot of activity and talking, and I think he said, I'm going to go prepare for a sports talk radio show. Hmm.
Did they pose for a photo in matching sweaters?
I don't believe that happened this morning because it happened this morning at, I think, around 8.
That'll be Christmas again.
I'll let him tell you all the story. It's a
all
good
right,
story.
Can't wait. By the way, the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships. Tomorrow, they're putting on the third annual Classic VW Car Show. Mind Your Pints and Quarts Show and Glow. It's going to benefit the Spastic Paraplegia Foundation, and the festivities take place from 5 until 10 p.m. tomorrow at the Tailgaters parking lot, which is on the east side of Everbank here. Food trucks, local breweries on hand, live music will be playing. Everybody's welcome. All vehicles are welcome to participate in the show as well. And you can check out the festivities where classic VWs will be on display and enjoy all the music, food, and community fun that's going on. That's tomorrow from 5 until 10 o'clock at the Tailgaters parking lot, which is just on the east side of the stadium. What is that? On Talleyrand, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, as far as that goes. Appreciate everybody who helped us out this week, all of our co-hosts. This week, O'Halloran Osier was off, and Mark Long popping in. All the boys will be back next week on a 4th of July short week for Jaguars today. As I told you, we'll welcome Foundation Professionals of Florida as our newest sponsor in next week. So get ready with those photos. And Irish Jaguar asked me, does it have to be American patriotism in the Patriotic Jaguar photo contest? I suppose not, if your name is Irish Jaguar, but proceed as you will. Appreciate Blake Bortles stopping by, spending some time with us earlier this week. The fact that we could bring you that conversation. Don't appreciate Frank Wycheck not answering his phone this morning. What are you going to do? Do love our boy Spinner Howland for popping in with the Jacksonville Axemen. Tomorrow, Tony, what time do the gates open for you guys over at Hodges Stadium tomorrow?
The kickoff for the older guys, with the senior teams, will be at 5 o'clock. The gates will open around 4 o'clock. We'll have the minor league game at 4:30.
Taking on the Atlanta Rhinos,
yep,
with the commanding voice of Tony Smith.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lauren Brooks, your homework assignment this week is to go find somewhere where you can rent or download or purchase the movie Mr. Brooks. And I don't know why your dad never shared this with you
and we
before.
Expect an essay on how it relates to your actual home life.
Yes.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I want a list of similarities between your actual experience at home growing up as a daughter of Mr. Brooks.
We do have a lot of knives, a lot of sharp knives. My parents have a lot of
you
those.
You do have a lot of sharp knives.
They do.
That seems to...
Plot point!
That seems to all come together with the movie. So, Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you Jaguars Today every Friday. Serving Jacksonville since 1905. Are you kidding me? Claude Nolan Cadillac has been the preferred Cadillac dealer here. They've got the largest selection of new or pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville with absolutely no dealer fees. That's a big deal. And by the way, Claude Nolan Cadillac, the only Cadillac dealer here in North Florida to sell and service the ELR. They've got an on-site body shop. They'll paint and repair any Cadillac model, guaranteed to offer the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac just a step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or stop by 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call them at 642-5111. That does it for us. For Joe Fortunato, for Lauren Brooks, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today on hiatus until Monday. We'll talk to the newly engaged Ryan the Hacker Green, Joe C, and T-Wig all coming up on the other side. XL Primetime, straight ahead on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.